time is here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101, the show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack when the Reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHAFA.
Or any of them there, guys.
Or any of them there, guys. All the views expounded upon here are those of the hosts and the hosts alone. If you have any problems with them, call your sponsor. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always, with
Shelly.
Yes, just Shelly. This is the he said she said show now. Wow, say that five times fast.
He said she said he said she said he said she.
Well, you got
to
add the show to it.
Oh, never mind.
He said, "See, I didn't even make it through
Bruce,
one.
We only let sober people share."
Yeah, I didn't even make it through one. That's how horrible it is. I forgot that this monitor right here has touch screen on it. So when I went to scratch a little thing off the monitor screen, it said, "Are you sure you want to stop recording?" I'm like, "No." So you've been in Arizona 2 weeks now. What do you think?
I like Arizona quite a bit.
Yeah?
Actually, I think it's closer to 3 weeks because actually it is 3 weeks. Is it? I don't know. No. Two?
I don't know. I don't know. Mostly slept.
Yeah, you've been asleep most of the time, so.
I don't know if it's the altitude or what.
Well, I read a thing. I did look up altitude stuff, and basically anything over 3,000 feet, and we are at 4,300.
I'm at like 4,700.
No.
At Huachuca, and then we're actually up on the hill of Huachuca.
No. The elevation of Huachuca is like 4,329. Tombstone is 4,500 something.
Okay.
And he's going to go look that up to check and make sure that I'm right.
I am.
Because that's the way he rolls.
That is, I like to research, you know.
Anyway, anything over 3,000, you can be subject to altitude sickness of one degree or another. And part of the symptoms of that are fatigue, shortness of breath, headaches.
What did you think we were at?
4,329.
No, 44. But we're on the hill.
The hill is not that high.
We got an extra.
You make it sound
feet.
Like we're like
extra 100
on
feet.
Olympus.
Extra 100 feet. And a massive population of 1,744.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so you like it though?
Yes, very much so. I feel like I can breathe here, and you can see the sky. And
it's much less expensive.
Well, except for fruits and veg. Produce, they got to truck in because this isn't exactly. I mean, they raise a lot of like livestock in Arizona, but not a lot of produce growing here.
But we had a guy that told us, you know, he raises beef.
Yeah, specialty beef.
Yeah, like all grass-fed, and they, you know, this is not
all
like shoved grass-fed.
Oh, okay.
This isn't like shoved full of hormones and left in a thing to get fat. I mean, they let them free range around the thing, and he tipped us off to this place.
Yeah.
Now, I have no idea what this is. There may be some people out there that know what bacon ends are.
I told you what bacon ends are.
I know, but I didn't know what they were.
Oh, I use them in soups and stuff.
So you can buy bacon ends. You can buy 15 pounds of it for $14 at this place. Now, I don't know what you'd need 15 pounds of bacon ends for.
It's luscious, yummy bacon fat.
Okay.
basically all the fatty ends.
But it's like 95 cents a pound or something.
Yeah.
And so you can buy like a grip of steaks and a grip, or, and you get like 8 steaks and 8 roasts and 9 pounds of ground beef for like $140, which doesn't sound that cheap, except for according to this guy, this guy's like, I don't care if you've had Kobe beef or you've had all Angus beef. He goes, it's not going to taste nearly as good as this stuff. So we're going to experiment with
that. Yeah, this is like fascinating for our listeners, I'm sure.
Well, clearly. Well, you know what that means?
Yes.
Oh, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. You are so fast on that. It's like you're doing
you
meth.
You need to get with the dudes. Your dudes are like do 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 do.
You mean more like the way an actual
teletype
was?
No, teletypes are not that slow. Teletypes are do. You need to get with the dudes.
Shelly's on dope. Okay, so our shout out list is getting rather large. So, we have shout-outs to Wendy, who sent in some boozy news. Wendy, Marty, Megan, Fran, Yvette, Hamid, Damon, Gary, Monty, Dadov, Fran, Bill, Roger, Dave, Randy, James, J-Duff, Alexandria, Stryker, Dan, Susan, Mitch, Joey, John, Carol, Natalie, Georgette, Jack, Curtis, Lee, Jane Lynn, Blanche, and Miranda.
That's a grip.
That is a bunch. So Megan sent this one in.
Okay.
I like this one. So in Virginia, students found their substitute teacher passed out at the desk.
Oh, well, that's great.
Substitute teacher was found drunk and passed out at the desk at Robinson Elementary School in Fairfax County, Virginia.
Oh, how are you going to explain that to the kids? Hey, kids, your teacher is... He's dead. No,
he's taking a... It's nap time. It's nap time. And I don't... The funny thing is, it doesn't ever say whether this is a man or a woman, because the name is Konbe Karoma.
Huh.
Which is K-O-N-B-E-H, and then Karoma, K-O-R-O-M-A.
Now, where did this happen?
Was filling in for an art teacher. Oh, wait. Authorities said he was filling in for an art teacher.
Where was this?
In Virginia, grades 10 through 12. The students tried to wake up the teacher.
Wait, grades 10 through 12, and this is an elementary school?
You know what? I thought it was an elementary school, but it's not. It's a high school.
Okay.
So students tried to wake him. An investigation shows that he was under the influence of alcohol and was arrested.
Well, you know, when you're dealing with teenagers, sometimes, actually, I get along mostly with teenagers. Little kids, I think, because I volunteered in elementary school classrooms when our kids were little a couple of times. I could almost see needing to have a little, you know, nip
a little
of the
drinky drink,
yeah, a nip of the genial beverage. But high schoolers, maybe you might want to be on your game for that.
Well, you know, when I was drinking, any excuse was a good reason for a little drinky drink. And by the way, Megan, that's exactly the kind of boozy news we like. And
yes.
Wendy sent us in a boozy news.
Okay,
this is
hi, Wendy.
I thought it was in Calgary, but the guy is from Calgary.
Oh, okay.
So this guy, Richard. I guess it's Ho. It's H-O-G-H. Ho?
Or Huff.
Huh?
Ho or Huff. It could be Huff.
Okay. Well, Richard, anyway. He was arrested in Orlando, Florida at the airport. Apparently, he had stolen an airport baggage truck and was driving down the tarmac at Orlando Airport. Pantsless.
Wait a minute. Why was he pantsless?
It does not say in the ad, but after posting bond and leaving the jail, he was quoted as saying, "Don't do crystal meth."
No, wait. I probably shouldn't do this. This is totally immature. But his name was Richard Huff? or Ho. So Dick Ho.
Dick Ho. Oh, she went there.
Okay, I should not have done that. That was totally immature, and I have to apologize now. I got to make amends to Dick Ho.
Dick Ho.
Sorry. Okay.
Dick Ho.
Okay, carry on.
How about this one? Let's see. Oh, Sullivan, Missouri. Police in Missouri, of the town of Sullivan, suspect that the synthetic drug Flaca is behind some bizarre behavior.
Yeah, that's not a good one.
Let's see. They grabbed four people, apparently overdosed on drugs. Oh, no, four people who apparently, it says overdosed on drugs and then went on a rampage. I think these guys are kind of unclear what overdosing on drugs is. I think what they maybe mean is took a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
Overdosing is not usually a thing that starts you out on a rampage. Usually it starts you on your way to the floor.
Yeah.
And I don't morgue. Mean that. I don't mean that in a flippant way, to, if you've known anyone that's
or the morgue.
Overdosed and passed, because I've overdosed and I ended up on the floor. So they were breaking into buildings, stripping off their clothes, and barking.
Yes, Flaca does weird things to people, and getting too much of Flaca is not, from what I've heard, is not a good thing. That was, I think that's Flaca is like in the same category, I think, as like bath salts or something like that. I'd have to look that up, though.
Well, Lieutenant Patrick Johnson said that these guys broke into both homes and businesses, barked like dogs, and although drugs have not been tested, but police say that the behaviors that they're exhibiting seem to match with Flaca, and they think it was a mix of Flaca and meth. Once again, meth. Sullivan's little town, it's like 7,000, and it's southwest of St. Louis.
7,000, where from where we live, that's like a big city.
Oh, compared to where we live now. Chipley.
What about Chipley?
Florida.
Oh, Florida.
Three people are temporarily taking up residence at the local county jail facing drug charges.
That's what happens in Florida.
So they spotted a car speeding on the highway. The driver pulled off the highway and into the city hall parking lot where the cops, fronted him off. They said that the backseat passenger was 27-year-old Elizabeth Williams of, Aklakani, Georgia? Aklakani? I don't know. Maybe Aklakani. She told them that they were trying to find a gas station. And the cop's like, the city hall doesn't look like the gas station at all. She continued talking to them, and she kept doing like start, stop answers, like meth head answers, you know. Even as they started to question the driver, who is 53-year-old Pamela Pollock William, also of Aklakani. and the other girl's still trying to answer questions while they're talking to the one. So you've got the one in the background who's talking like this, and they keep answering all the questions, and it's like, yeah, not much meth there. They said she opened the car door and began to dry heave. This is the driver.
Oh.
That's when the deputy said, okay, everybody out. We're going to search the vehicle. Pamela Williams apparently was – tried to conceal her purse in the back seat. When they searched the purse, they found marijuana and a green crystal substance.
Green
crystal substance that Pamela Williams identified as marijuana candy. Now, maybe it's some edible. I don't know. I've never heard of it. Authorities said they also found a bag of methamphetamine. This is the methamphetamine report from Recovery 101
apparently.
Today. Like everything's methamphetamine. 57-year-old Jimmy Williams of Panama City, apparently the husband of the driver, was the second passenger. And as a deputy was performing – oh, a female deputy started performing a search on the driver, Elizabeth. Allegedly, Elizabeth admitted that she had more marijuana that was hidden.
Let me guess. In her butt.
Inside her person is what it says.
In her butt.
Possibly.
Because, you know, that's where we put everything these days.
So Jimmy Williams is charged with possession of methamphetamine. Elizabeth and Pamela are each charged with possession of less than 20 grams of marijuana. So they're off to the hooscow. Oh my God. This is horrible. So this chick.
Oh, so let's talk about it because it's horrible.
So this chick. Tanya Laverty, 45, from Wavertree, Liverpool. She went on this like once in a lifetime trip, like for several months. She was on this like world tour, went all through Asia and everything, rented her house out while she was gone. She comes home, and actually a bit early, comes home and finds a marijuana growing facility inside her home that she was renting out.
Oh, damn.
Oh, yeah. Now, and there's kind of a lot to this story, so I will sum up. There was, and this is how you know she came home early, because there was 200 plants growing inside the house. And what they did is they put, like, the lights on timers upstairs. So what they did is they put lights behind the curtains and then put stuff behind the lights. So the lights would go on at certain times and then turn off. Yeah. They had them on timers. So they'd go off like there was people living there, but there was nobody living there.
It was just full of bud.
And if you saw the house, there's like ducts, like air ducts and stuff that were like, you know, and lighting systems and water systems. I mean, the whole house is screwed. The house is screwed. And so she calls the cops.
Yeah.
They come over. Why the cops felt the necessity to kick in the back door, since she had already opened the
she
place.
She was there.
Yeah. Well, and they kicked in the back door.
Oh, jeez.
And so they took all the plants out and said, well, thanks for letting us know. And she's standing there in her house, which is full on wrecked.
Yeah.
She can't rent it to anybody. She owes her mortgage payment's coming up. She can't pay it. Now she's got all this damage to the house. She doesn't know what she's going to do. And I don't think there was a GoFundMe page or anything for it. But it was if you saw the house, you'd be like, holy crap, it looked like it used to be a nice house.
Wow.
But, yeah. Yeah.
That's really bad.
That's what happens when you go on your lifelong, you know, trip.
Your bucket list trip, and you come back and everything you owned is dead.
Now, we went to church today.
Yes.
Church attendees in Anderson, South Carolina got a little something unusual in their spirituality on whatever
day
it was. Well, there was a girl that people rushed out of the church to help. They were hearing someone scream, and the girl was fighting them off. But by the time medics and everything were able to get there and to calm her enough to help, it was too late to save her sight.
What happened? This, you're not explaining this very well.
Well, because I haven't gotten to the integral part yet. When they went outside, she was gouging her own eyes out.
Oh!
And real cute young girl.
Why?
Like maybe 20-something. Methamphetamine. I'm telling you, this
again,
is
the
methamphetamine
report.
Thing. Yeah, she was, you know, people that saw her that were like completely terrified because literally she's, and she didn't get both her eyes out, but she got one of them completely out of her head.
Okay, yikes.
And then the mom was like, and the mom, here's the heartbreaking part of the story. Mom knows daughter has a meth problem and was going to take her into a facility the day before, but it was her birthday. So they didn't do it the day before, and the next day the girl gouges one of her eyes out.
Oh, jeez.
I don't, and you know what? Here's what I don't get. I have done what could be called a modicum of meth in my day, like quite a lot. I have never felt the urge to gouge my eyes out. I mean, I'm thinking there's
got to be something mixed
else,
in there.
Something else involved. I mean,
bath salts.
I mean, maybe people in the comments can let us know. I mean, did you ever think that you felt like you needed to gouge your eyes out? I mean, I've been paranoid and things like that. I've never, I don't know. I mean, Coke made me speedy and made me a little paranoid and made me want to clean the same desk 115 times. Yeah, even though it looked the same when I was done cleaning it, but it never made me want to gouge my eyes out. I don't know. But wow. Anyway, that's not the thing you want to see coming out of church.
No.
Okay. So this guy, Majid Malik, this is in the UK somewhere. This guy was with his brother and a couple other friends, and they were racing some other thing in a Mercedes, and there was this horrible crash. And of everybody, this one guy is the only guy that survived, right? So he said, you know, I knew God was keeping me alive for a reason. I'm going to use the rest of my life to really, you know, do God's work and, you know, make my friends that passed away proud of me.
Okay, and?
He got arrested on a huge cocaine smuggling thing.
Well, who are his friends? Because
well,
that might make
are
them
dead.
Well, you never know. Maybe that would make his friends proud.
You know what? And you know what? It's funny because okay, so it's a chunk, but it's not. It's 125 grams. Okay, so that's a chunk.
See, I have no frame of reference. I have no idea how much that is.
Well, 28 grams is an ounce. So it's like about a quarter pound, a little less than a quarter pound.
So that doesn't seem like a lot to me. Is
well,
that a lot?
I mean, a kilo's 2-point-something pounds. So, I mean, back in the day when I was like scrounging to buy a quarter gram, but back in the days when things were going well, we would get kilos. So it's not like a lot, but it was also 93% pure, which is pretty good, and it had a street value of 12,500 pounds, whatever that comes out. That's probably like 17 grand in money. But not, you know, and they almost couldn't put this guy away. I mean, they had an 11-member jury that didn't reach an agreement for a long time. They finally got a thing where it was 10 to 1. Apparently in Britain, it doesn't have to be unanimous. Like here, if it was 10 to 1, that'd be a hung jury. You'd walk.
I'm wondering why this is a story, because he claimed he was going to dedicate his life to God, and then
he
comes up on a drug charge.
He was getting another chance at life.
And
I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it to be a better person, because I was the only survivor of a thing that killed like 6 people, and not so much. Yeah, and his father was also arrested in on this thing. So
Well, you know, it's a family thing.
Oh, my God. This is a sex toy that someone, maybe you, might be dying to use.
What?
Oh, yeah. It's a Dutch designer, Mark Sturkenboom. What a great name for this guy. This guy makes a sex toy. His name's Sturkenboom.
And?
They should call it the Sturkenboom.
I'm sure somebody does.
Sturkenboom.
It's a sex toy.
Yes.
That includes a mini urn.
Urn?
To hold the cremated remains of that special someone.
Oh, ew. Yeah, no. That's a whole lot of no right there.
The erotically shaped urn is part of 21 grams, a memory box devised by Sturkenboom to help
just like to say that.
Grieving people feel the presence of their loved ones.
Yikes. No.
The title refers to the purported weight of the human soul based on a now discredited study by Dr. Douglas McDougall, an early 20th century physician, who weighed patients before and after death to see if there was a change in weight to see if their soul had actually left. But that data came from Snopes. So apparently, I know Snopes isn't always the go-to.
Now,
but
no, you know, I love you, but if I happen to outlive you, I will not be using your ashes to shtup with.
Oh, darn.
I'm just saying.
It was an elderly neighbor that inspired him to create the memory box. The memory box for your box. Ooh. Anyway, so that's the sex toy. Yeah, he said that when people are talking about this, he'd rather them not use the term sex toy or dildo when they're referring to the memory box. And I'm like,
what are they supposed to call it?
But that's
the spiritual,
that's what it is.
Schlongstuker?
He goes, it's a conversational piece, a metaphor. I'm like, then why is it shaped like a phallus? let's see here. Oh, well, this is just a little bit of a thing that's come up lately about Natalie Wood.
Yeah, they reopened her case.
So Natalie Wood, who supposedly drowned accidentally.
Yes, in a boating accident.
6 years ago, they reopened the case. And according to L.A., I think it's L.A. Sheriff's detectives, they say that Robert Wagner is more than a passing, what do they call it, person of interest.
Mm-hmm.
Because now they know. I was watching a video on it, and apparently when they found her body and she drowned, when they first found the body, the original cops that found the body said it looked like she had been assaulted because she had bruises.
There was somebody else on that boat, though.
But there was two other people on the boat. The captain of the boat and what's his name? Christopher Walken.
So what does Walken say happened?
Walken didn't see anything happen. And the captain didn't see anything happen. They didn't see her go over the edge of the boat. But the captain said that he knew that they had been arguing. Out of nowhere comes a woman from another boat who says she knew they were arguing too. But when the thing came out that she had accidentally drowned, she just never mentioned it to anyone because she didn't think anything of it. Although she said that when they were arguing, she said that Natalie Wood looked like she was the aggressor, and it looked like she fell down on the deck, like on her knees.
Yeah.
Which is completely backed up by a coroner's report that said she had a bruise on her knee.
Okay.
So they're pretty sure that what this woman's saying was true, but apparently they had been vociferously fighting. Robert Wagner originally said there was no problem. They hadn't been fighting at all. And originally, that was one of the things where Wagner said one thing and the captain of the boat said another. Walken was like, had been drinking or something, was passed out asleep. And, but it looks.
Is Robert Wagner still alive?
Yes.
Oh.
And of course, if he gets busted for this, he will spend out the rest of his days.
Well, yeah, because there's no statute of limitations on murder.
Correct. Okay, so I think this is the final one. Oh, yes, it is. Wigan, England. There's no meth in this one.
Oh, okay, good.
Wigan.
Why would that even be?
Well, because there was meth in so many of the other ones. Wigan, England. A man has been stamped as a sex offender.
Okay.
Because he was found guilty in a sexual assault.
Okay.
Paul Bennett, 45, pleaded guilty on Thursday to 2 counts of indecent exposure and using threatening and abusive words with abusive behavior.
Huh?
To a mailbox.
Oh, so he's having a romantic relationship with the mailbox.
No, he tried to rape a mailbox.
Yeah, apparently the mailbox was having none of it.
And apparently he did. Now, this is from a ways back. I don't know why it just got in the news, but it was from September 9th, so it was a while ago. He had sex with the mailbox in a public area.
Oh, geez.
And you know what I got to wonder? Either he's hung like
he had horse. He had a stool.
No, but I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen a mailbox, but normally the opening on a mailbox.
It's pretty high.
Well, yeah, and pretty big. It's pretty
large. You know, we used to wonder, when I worked at the library, we used to wonder how people, because occasionally used to gross us out. You never knew if occasionally you would end up going to get the book drop and there would be urine or semen. And we always wondered, because the book drop is kind of high up, the place where you put the books in. How did they get... Did they bring a step ladder or something?
Whenever you find stuff in there, then you're telling the local police department, look for Shaq.
Yeah, I mean,
it's got to be an NBA player.
It's got to be somebody that's like 7 feet tall, because you would, I mean, or you'd need a step ladder. I mean, we found kittens in there, dirty diapers. I mean, you wouldn't believe what people throw in those slots.
Witnesses said that Bennett was reportedly rubbing himself against the mailbox, so maybe not in the mailbox, while holding his hands in the air doing jazz hands.
Well, you know, at least he's got style.
So they found him slightly later exposing himself in front of another store full of people. He drunkenly shouted and swore at them, his attorney said he realizes his client's behavior left witnesses ashamed, disgusted, and upset, but he was drunk and he didn't know what he was doing.
Why would the witnesses be ashamed?
I wondered that as well, but that's what they said. And my client accepts that, he said, and was quoted as saying, clearly, he has some issues that need to be addressed.
You think?
So the court ordered him to undergo alcohol treatment and pay $75 to a woman who witnessed his mailbox sex session. And he'll also have to register as a sex offender. So that, my friends, is the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. Way too fast.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
We're back. Welcome back, Shelly.
Hiya.
What? Come on, sing it, Shelly.
Nope.
Welcome back.
Nope.
The Welcome Back Cotter song.
Nope.
You know that many people commented on that show that just replaying the old one wasn't really good enough.
I think that our listeners should record themselves singing the Welcome Back Cotter song and send it to us at recovery101radio@gmail.com, and we will insert their renditions on the show.
You know what? I think that of everyone we know, there are possibly two candidates. Well, no, you know what? Phil and their harmonics might do it.
You never know.
Bill Piper might do it. Fran might do it. But anyone can do it.
Yes.
All right. So if you guys think about it, do that. So Shelley's
got a topic.
Well, I don't. I mean, I suppose it's a talking point, a discussion. It's just the place where we have moved. There is a recovery facility for young men. Of high school age.
Yes.
It's called The Ranch.
Yeah.
And
seems like a very cool program.
Yeah. I mean, they've got, and it's a school. They're there for like a year and a half. So it's kind of an intensive, you know, thing.
Right. They have high school classes there. They have counselors there. They have a soccer field, their basketball courts. They have equine therapy with horses.
Yes, and they have to go to meetings, and they've got to work the steps. They got to get spawned, the whole bit.
Yes.
As opposed to what we're used to seeing in SoCal, which is your basic spin dry,
28-day hospital stay.
Yeah, if you're lucky, if your insurance will cover 28 days.
Yeah.
And it's not, this ranch thing is not cheap either.
No, but you know what? If you think about it, no, it's not cheap, but you know what? You're staying there. All the food is provided.
Right.
You're getting high school and counseling and training. They have a full sound studio there if you play musical instruments. They've got art classes. They've got all the regular school classes. They've got, you know, you ride horses and stuff.
Right.
I mean, it's expensive in that I think it's something like $10,000 a month. But if you compare that to a hospital program, like the Spindrives will be $25,000 or $30,000. And if you talk about places like the high-end places, I don't know how much like the Betty Ford Center is out in Palm Springs, but like places like Passages Malibu, where they have a cure for alcoholism, they're like $90,000 for 30 days.
Right.
So, I mean, for the same price, and, you know, most of the people that go here are fairly well off, but, you know, if that's like getting 9 months worth of school and counseling and all that for what it costs the rich and famous to go to this thing for 1 month. So,
well, 9 months. I thought they went for 18 months.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is 9 months of the ranch is what it costs to do 1 month of Passages. So I'm just saying, although it seems sort of expensive, I think in the scheme of treatment centers, I'm not saying that it doesn't cost, but I'm saying it's a lot less than a lot of facilities would be.
Right. But what I'm wondering, there are a couple of things I'm wondering about this. First of all, this is for high school-aged boys.
Yes.
Which, as we know, these days, parents are way, you know, happy to send their kids to recovery programs just for
Like they caught them smoking weed?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Now, some of the kids may have serious problems, you know, but then there may be, as it says in the book, they may yet be alcoholics or addicts or whatever. Well, but then my question, that's part of my question, is that how ready are these kids to do this? Is this a waste of time and money or whatever? And my other question is, or my other thought on it is it any better or any more effective than your average spin drive? Because, you know, just last week, we go in and we hear about two of the kids that are back at the ranch
because
they went on home passes and relapsed. And then they're back at – or the one guy that was actually out, he'd graduated, and then he had to come back.
Yeah.
So,
well, I have – you know, and I have a couple of different feelings on this thing. Like, you know, the place fascinates me. I'm fascinated by – I think the whole concept is great. I mean, I like the idea of them – you know, I mean, they're in the boonies. But, you know, I mean, it's like, it's almost like extended summer camp for these guys, except for they have classes to go to. I mean, there's a full recording studio there. They can ride horses. There's all this stuff they can do. The two things that strike me, one of them is like what you said. You know what, kids, you know, did their parents stick them in there? Because they're, you know, I'm positive that some of these guys are dope fiend alcoholics.
Right.
On the other hand, these guys are like 15, 16 years old.
Right.
And granted, I know lots of people. I know people that were doing heroin when they were 10 or 11. So I'm not saying that some of these guys can't be like that. But I'll tell you the one thing I was thinking. I mentioned it to you the other day, Shelley. How would you like to be a teenage boy and be stuck in a place where there is no girls?
There are no girls.
I mean, there's the girl that we know that works there.
Yeah.
And she's like a cute gal. I mean, she's, I don't know what, she's in her 30s or something. It's like these guys
probably married with kids.
I know, but these guys are probably dreaming of her every night because I don't think that there's a lot of, you know, and to be honest with you, when we go to meetings around here, this is, I feel young compared to a lot of people at the meetings here, and I am, you know, 56 years old, 57?
56.
Okay, 56 years old, and I feel young compared to a lot of people in program around here. So when you go to these meetings, not only are the men older, but the women that are with the men are older, and I'm thinking, here's these 15-year-olds are they're like getting all dressed up to go out to a meeting, and they're like, yeah.
There's no girls at the meeting either.
Because when we used to go to Charter Oak, and that's a kind of a spin dry, and they would have an inpatient live-in kind of not sober living, but another treatment thing after the initial detox. Those people got to go to outside meetings too. But see, you'd see them. They'd get decked out to go because they're going out to meetings where they might walk into a meeting with 100 people. They might go to a meeting at the 502 Club, and there's tons of people to look at, girls, guys, everything. And you know when you're first getting sober and you're like, you're going to have this new life, and you're like, I need me a new bae.
Yeah, but what you're focused on is – if you're focused on finding her, then your recovery is not on solid foundation.
Hang on a second here. Boy, you are just loading that off on the men right there, aren't you?
Because we're talking about a facility for boys.
I know, but I'm saying we were talking about Charter, which is not a facility just for boys, and talking about people that were all dressed up to go out.
Okay,
I don't think,
then if you're looking just for him, then your recovery's not on solid foundation. If you're looking for the other, you're not looking to repair the insides. You're looking to fix the outsides.
We're about to slip into a 13-step discussion here.
Oh, no. Which is not the focus of what I was talking about, because my question is that any better than the 28-day programs?
I'll tell you what. To me, and you know, and specifically, I've never been there yet. I mean, I watched some videos online. I checked out their website. I think the whole idea is great. I mean, if I'm a kid and I'm off and I mean, everyone's from everywhere. You know, one kid was like from Georgia, one kid was from Orange County, California, and one guy was from like Seattle or something. If I'm a kid and I am doing dope and I can't stay sober where I'm at, because just like many of us, like when I was young and I was hanging out with my friends, I didn't get sober when I was hanging out with my friends because we were all getting loaded together. To pull the kid out of that thing, he's probably not doing well in school because he's dropping out. The classes have like 7 people in them or something. I mean, they're like really small. I mean, you want to talk about attention of a teacher. These guys are probably getting top-level education. They're also getting counseling. They're also being made to do 12-step. They're also getting a sponsor. They're also doing equine therapy. They're also doing physical fitness. They're also doing art class. I mean, talk about a well-rounded thing. I'm not saying that it's easy for a kid to do that, because like I said, I'll tell you, as being a teenage boy once myself, you take girls out of the equation, I guarantee that that's one of the biggest problems that these guys have with going to this facility. It has nothing to do with the fact that, you know, they need to get sober. I'm telling you, their big driving factor here is, you know what, buddy? You're not going to get laid for a long time. And these are kids that are maybe not going to get laid yet anyway. Although, you know what? I looked around that room. They're good-looking young guys. You know, I mean, I didn't see any of them that would really look like they'd have any problem getting girls.
I don't know. I didn't look at any of them that closely, so I don't really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think, you know, they were a bunch of, like, normal kids. You know, it wasn't like we had a bunch of models or troglodytes. I mean, it's like these guys, like any other guy, would have a fair to good shot of getting laid in high school. But, you know, when you come to the ranch, you're not going to be getting laid. But, you know what? See, to me, that facility is perfect for recovery, though. When I went to Impact House, if you said more than hello to a woman because it was a co-ed treatment facility, they made you get up in the morning and write about it, because they're like, you should not be concentrating on women. You should be concentrating on your own shit. So now you're going to get up in the morning and write about it. They don't have to worry about that at this facility because it's all guys.
Yeah, because there's nobody to look at.
Yeah. So what do you think? Do you think, I mean, I think, to me, I think it's way, I think it's got it way over a spin dry. I mean, for sure, just because of the fact that the facility offers so many different things. I think it's spin dries, you know how that goes. The moment you get out, you know, you're in the same city where you just were, and you know, and it's the same problem with going home on pass.
Yeah.
You know, I shared in the meeting the other night, fuck, I wish I had gotten sober at these guys' age. And I wanted to tell the one kid we were talking to who was like 15, I was going to say, bro, you don't even understand the way program works. The longer you don't do something, you get congratulated for it. So, you know, normally you have to really do something to get congratulation. You got to win something. You got to catch the winning touchdown pass. You got to hit the home run. In AA, you don't have to do any of that. You have to not get loaded. And by the time that kid is my age, that kid would have 41 years. He'd be like the king of AA in his area. I mean, that means when he's in his 40s, he'll have 30-something years sober. I mean, he's going to be like the king of AA in his area. You're going to have groupies. You're going to have chick groupies.
May I speak now?
If you'd like.
Okay. Well, I was trying to, but then you just kept going on.
You mean I hadn't finished my thought yet?
I think that if you're 15 and your parents are already throwing you into a recovery facility, I would not make book on that kid's chances of staying in recovery. 15 is really young to decide you're not going to do something for the rest of your life when most of the world does do it.
I would say that your chances of staying sober at 15 are about what your chances of staying sober in any of these programs at any time is, which is about 5%, which means 95% of them are going to go get loaded again.
I don't think so, because you're talking about kids who were put there by their parents. This was not their choice. Yeah. They did not go to their parents. They probably did not go to their parents and say, look, I have a serious problem. I need help. Their parents or their teachers or whoever, they got caught doing something.
Yeah.
And they got stuck in this place. And I don't know that it's like any other person in recovery, unless you're done, you're not going to get it.
Well, you know, and I totally agree with that. I get it. I think that there's probably a percentage of these kids that got caught smoking weed one time and their parents freaked out and they ready to send them off somewhere. Was this or military academy or something? And the thing is, I mean, we've talked about that many times on the show before. Young kids, their parents catch them smoking weed one time. Next thing you know, you're a dope fiend. And they may not be at all.
Right. They haven't lost anything because they don't have anything yet.
But,
I mean, what is the bottom there?
But, so let's say that 95% of these parents are wrong. Right? Their kid just smoked a little weed. And let's say that the average amount of people that stay sober is 5% per program. So 5% of these kids are actually dope fiend alcoholics that could benefit from this.
Maybe.
And you know what? And I think any of them, I mean, come on. We know that they don't want to be ripped away from their friends and this and that. But you know what? To go to the Arizona desert, to be in what can only be described as really, the weather here is better than it was in Southern California. It's cooler in the summer. It's cooler in the winter too. But I mean, they've got horseback riding available. They could play basketball. They can learn musical instruments. They could grab a guitar and become a guitar hero in real life.
Great boarding school. I just don't know that the recovery part of it is really of benefit at that age.
Well, but then we also have the guys that got loaded, and both of them said the same thing. Both of them that got loaded on their trial away, they're like, man, I really effed up. They're like, I don't know why I did that. And the one guy said, I really didn't think I was an addict. He goes, I really didn't think I was. And he goes, and when I went home and I got loaded, he goes, it really demonstrated to me that I really didn't have any control. He goes, I really didn't. When presented with it, I just did it, and I didn't stop doing it. And the guy's like, you know, maybe that's, you know, the guy's moment of clarity. And you know what? I wish I got a moment of clarity when I was 15. I sort of did. I mean, I kind of knew the jig was up. You know, I went to my first meeting when I was 20, which is older than any of these guys. But by the time I was 20, I 100% knew that I was getting loaded too much. And my guess is that a percentage of these guys, you know, let's say 70% of them should never be there. Doesn't hurt them. You know what I mean? They're still getting their high school education.
Yeah,
they're getting
equine
therapy.
That.
They're getting counseling. They're getting this and all that.
Yeah, it's a great boarding
it's
school.
Good.
I'm not saying it's not.
Yeah. And the ones, the 30% that are there that really should be there, it's good for them too.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know that in terms of like the recovery outcome, I don't think that that sort of intensive 18 months worth of this thing is any better than 28 days at charter.
Oh, yeah. So, you know what? I think it is. My nose is itching. I've been doing a lot of cocaine. What do you want? I think it's way better than a spin dry. Now, in that capacity, it is a lot more expensive than a spin dry. Because where you might go to charter and it might be $30,000 for 28 days, you're going to get $30,000 in 3 months here, but it's an 18-month program.
Yeah.
But, like I said, you know, if you go to charter, and this is a problem with kids. So you pull a kid out of high school, right? You send him to a 28-day program, he's going to miss a month of school.
Right.
A month. And he's going to be in kind of the same kind of position. Maybe he's an alcoholic addict. Maybe he's not. Maybe the parents over-justified when they sent him in there. Maybe he or she shouldn't even really be in there. Pulls him out of school for a month. You know, this place, at least, I guarantee that if I had 18 months of school where I was in a classroom where there's only like 7 or 10 people as opposed to 60 or something, you would get a much better education.
Well, yeah.
For sure. So by the time these guys go back to wherever they were, they'll probably be at the top of their class of
True.
Whatever they're doing.
True.
So I don't know. I'm right in their court on this. I think it's a. From what I've seen and I've seen online, it looks like a cool place. I mean, I talked to some of the people that work there and stuff. I just think it's a great thing. And you know what the really unfortunate thing is? Around here, they call it the ranch, but it's like inbal.com or something. It's like imbalance. I think it's like inbal.com or something, but you can go check it out. I find it to be pretty unique, and I think that's what I really like about it. I mean, I went to a long-term facility, too. It's called Impact House, and let me tell you, it was nothing like this. If you went in there as a kid to Impact House, you would get absolutely no schooling. You get no counseling per se. You have a caseworker, but you know you could have a sponsor. But these guys can get a sponsor here, and they have counselors, and there's psych tech people, and there's equine therapy, and there's basketball, and there's soccer, and there's this and there's that. I just think, and I think for maybe some parents, they're just you know, they want to do the best for their kid. And
yeah,
I think that
true.
Even if they're not an alcoholic, it turns out they're not an alcoholic drug addict, and you just caught them doing something, if you can afford to send someone to this, like you said, it's like sending them to a really good
boarding school.
Yeah. So I'm in their wheelhouse on this. Matter of fact, they have a whole studio over there. This is where we should be recording the show. Is that there's? Are you looking at the husky laying
He's
on the floor?
He's just so cute. He's all snoozy and just laying.
You know what I saw him
happy.
Doing the other day? He was laying outside, out in the sun.
Yeah.
And his paws were
going.
Not like he. I mean, his paws weren't really moving fast.
Yeah.
I've seen some videos of dogs on YouTube.
Yeah.
But his paws were going. You could tell he was dreaming about running or something. This dog loves it here.
Yes, he does.
I gotta say. I love it here, too. So, Shelley, what would your final words on the spin drive versus the long-term boarding school type?
I think it probably doesn't really matter where you go. If you're not ready, you ain't ready.
Right. My final words would be, although that's true, I think that this place is, if you can afford it, it's good. It's good even if you're not a dope fiend. You know, you could go to this place and get, like, really hands-on learning and equine therapy and all that. I mean, who gets equine therapy? Who gets to go horseback riding as part of your therapy? That's badass. Fuck. If I'd been in Impact House and it said, hey, we're going to go horseback riding this weekend, I would have been like, hell yeah. And they would have been like, but there's no girls. I'd be like, that's fine, because at Impact we couldn't look at girls anyway. I don't know. So, Shelley, who's the lead on music by? Deer in the Headlights.
No, I was thinking, how about Amp?
Amp, another misguided prophet. Everybody try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
Take care of you.
I just ask, can you listen? I just gotta get this off my chest. This is killing me. It's killing me.
GloryMusic.com.
I ask you to hear me out. My hands up. I'm cleaning out my closet. My life, I lost it. I'm honest. I'll tell the truth. I only need you, Lord, to see me through. Help me reach the people that need you. Cause I know I can, and I still do. I'm
today.
Talking to that thief, I'm talking to that liar, I'm talking to that person walking in hell and fire. I'm talking to the kids that see nothing but violence. I'm talking to that addict, problems inside them. I'm talking to you, AMP, you's a thief, you's a liar, a G, walking in hell and fire. You're an alcoholic that just knows violence. Come help me, Lord, my mind won't be quiet. I pray to the Lord that he keeps my soul, Lord. I know the saying, you reap what you sow. I am a sinner, I will change the day. I will not be who I was yesterday.
Come on!
I pray to the Lord that he keeps my soul,
Lord.
I know the saying, you reap what you sow.
Preach.
I am a sinner, I will change the day. Lord, come and take me and show me the way. First off, I apologize to everyone I hurt in my life. Alcohol, sex, drugs. I have no excuses, that's just what it was. I hurt some of my family, I hurt some of my friends, I hurt so many women, I can't begin. I was engaged, I was the reason it ended. Pistol in my hand, my life almost ended. I seen that devil, he looked at me back. Liquor bottle in hand, I was not looking back. Thank you to DJ, thank you to April. The Lord sent you both from heaven to come save me. Hope my words touch, hope my words reach you. I am not perfect, I make mistakes. I'm determined to be someone different today. AMP will change his mindset and ways
today.
I pray to the Lord that he keeps my soul, Lord. I know the saying, you reap what you sow. I am a sinner, I will change the day. I will not be who I was yesterday.
Come on!
I pray to the Lord that he keeps my soul.
Lord,
I know the saying, you reap what you sow.
Reach.
I am a sinner, I will change the day. Lord, come and take me and show me the way.
Hear me?
I pray to the Lord.
Lord,
I know the saying.
Preach.
I am a sinner. I will not be who I was yesterday.
Come on.
That he keeps my soul.
Lord,
you reap what you sow.
Preach.
I will change the day. Lord, come and take me and show me the way.
Hear me?
That's
not my whole story. It's some of it. And I hope I was able to help somebody. May God bless you.